You can control your relationship with yourself, the way that you engage yourself, the way that you speak to yourself, the way that you engage with, okay, who am I becoming? Who do I want to become? You can control your attitude. You can control the way that you're engaging with yourself. You can control a lot of your consumption, the things that are coming into you. You can become more mindful of what is helpful that's coming into you and what is not helpful that is coming into you. You've got control over maybe less things, but many, many powerful things. Many powerful things are within your control that can actually change the way you engage with the things that are outside of your control.
Welcome to Let's Be Real, a completely honest, entirely practical conversation about how to live our lives with freedom, purpose, and abundance. Popular author and communicator Nicole Yunus brings her 20 years of experience as a counselor, pastor, and coach to a real conversation about the tricky questions and tough decisions in life, and how to find clarity in action no matter what obstacle you may face. Have a topic to suggest or a tricky situation you need help with? We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email or voice memo to nicole@nicoleyunus.com. We might feature you on the show. And now here's your host, Nicole Yunus.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Be Real. I am your host, Nicole Yunus. I'm so glad to be with you today. So glad to be talking together, even if it takes a camera and a microphone to make it happen. I want you to know I'm thinking about you wherever you are. If you're doing some dishes, getting your workout in, if you drive your car anymore. I was driving my car the other day and I realized I had not been like on a highway in a while compared to how much I used to drive. And all of a sudden I had complete like overexposure to the sounds and the quickness and all the decisions that needed to be made in order for me to merge onto a highway. I mean, it was like I fast forwarded and imagined myself at age 82 trying to drive my car or fly my plane or whatever we'll be doing when I'm 82. And I thought, oh my gosh, our bodies are just like adjusting and changing to this new reality that we're in ways that I think can be good. And also in ways where we realize, wow, like the pace has changed a lot. And at the end of the day, though, in a lot of ways, I think that we're in a season where we have an opportunity to get reacquainted with who we really are, to get reacquainted with people that we love and maybe places and blind spots or gaps that we've had that we've been able to ignore, but that we can actually address and become stronger, more resilient human beings through it all. And that's really kind of the heart and the hope of what we're doing on Let's Be Real. We're just like trying to talk about the reality of how life really feels and what we can do to experience the most freedom and the most health possible, even in the midst of the struggle. So that's certainly my desire, and I hope it's yours too. I'm telling you what, it has been a crazy week. I don't know if this happens to you where you're going along and everything's fine and you can like feel really great about all the people in your life, your family, your relationships, and then you just hit like a rough patch like that. It's like you just hit rough road and you did not see the signs coming, because I feel like the last couple of days I have been on edge, just like right on the edge. And all of a sudden these things that wouldn't normally, well, I don't know if they would normally bother me or not, but I'm just noticing them more and speaking up about them and kind of wanting to help the people around me be the best that they can be, help the person inside of me to be the best that I can be. But sometimes those things really bump up against each other and it feels like friction, it feels like sandpaper. It doesn't feel great. And that just reminded me of kind of a fundamental reality that I think as human beings, we all have to deal with. And it's one of those things where I'm like, no, I already dealt with this. Like I dealt with this 10 years ago. I don't need to deal with it again. But the reality is every time the season changes and every time we're in kind of a new place or a new relationship, it changes again. And that is around this idea of control, which is kind of this undercurrent that can be working in our personality kind of all the time. And we're sort of wired in our temperaments to lean one way or another when it comes to control. And really the heart of what we want to pay attention to when we think about if we call ourselves a control freak or the way we want things done or the way we want things to go or the way we want a relationship to run, whatever as we think about what that is, we're going to find ourselves really actually addressing a deeper issue that is behind control, which is why understanding and bringing into our awareness the narrative, the script, whatever's going on in our mind when it comes to control is actually the most important thing we can do, because we can't actually deal with what's going on if we don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to control, I want to share a story of how I see this kind of play out in my life. And I'm just going to use my marriage as an example. It plays out in every part of all of my relationships. But let me give you an example from my marriage. So in my marriage, let's say this weekend even, my husband is like making coffee and I'm watching him make coffee. And I'm thinking, you could do that a different way, or that could be done like, are you going to make enough? Or are you sure you're using enough grounds? Or like, I don't think the coffee needs to go in the freezer. In your mind, you may not be this way, but please welcome to my twisted world. Like in my mind, I'm thinking about the 14 different ways that this could get done. And I've got that narrative going and there might be like a little bit of frustration rising. Or like, let's say you're driving with your spouse in the car and you don't like, you're like, you should have gone this way. Or why aren't you passing this car? You don't need to be in the slow lane or whatever that thing is. And you've got this narrative going as you're with this other person. Perhaps you've noticed it with a child as you are parenting or babysitting a child and you're like, a little faster, you should put your right shoe on before you put your left shoe on. That's the wrong foot. Like you're like watching this go down and you're feeling this narrative where you're making a play by play of what you think that the other party should be doing. And as that's happening, you become more and more frustrated as your play by play is not working out. Here's another example. You're like, I was at the Starbucks the other day and I'm watching, like there's a person standing in front of me because we're in the like 6 feet apart situation. And the person standing in front of me is standing at the door. But I believe that the phase had just changed where now you could go into the Starbucks, but they still have the squares outside the Starbucks. And then one person went by and around and went into the Starbucks. And then another person went by and around like this line that had been created and went into the Starbucks. And so I'm standing there and I'm like, do I ask the lady in front of me if she knows why she's standing there or if she's waiting for something different? How long do I wait? How long should I be patient? Who's going to be frustrated if I ask? So finally, as it turns out, she did not know what she was doing. And we all went in, like everyone else went inside. And then she just followed suit and also came inside. So we were standing there for nothing. Then I'm standing there at the counter. Now, God love these Starbucks people. Like, I mean, everyone, every time I go into Starbucks, it's crowded right now. I think people are like, just give me a little something. Like we're in a global pandemic. We are dealing with civil unrest. I'm glad in a lot of senses that we're coming to our senses about things that we need to deal with as a country that are important. But also at the end of the day, people are like, can I just get my Frappuccino? Like I'm just trying to get my Starbucks drink. Like they just want that little comfort if they're on the road or they have to go to work or whatever. And so everybody there has a lot of expectations of the Starbucks employees. Then these poor kids in the Starbucks, they've got to wear their mask. Like they're trying to deal with all these different regulations. They got to be like still doing the Starbucks thing. It's a lot. And you can't hear them. They can't put the condiments out. Like there's a lot going on in the Starbucks when you're in there. So I'm in there and they get my mobile order right. And they hand me my two coffees that I got for a friend of mine. And then I'm like, where are my egg bites? Because now the coffee, they have executed on the coffee, which makes me think that wherever my order is, wherever it is on a piece of paper, they've already thrown it out. Like they delegated the egg bites to somebody else. But as I'm watching the dance behind the Starbucks counter, it becomes very evident to me that the order did not make it. It was like the game of telephone got disrupted and nobody understood that there was also supposed to be a food order. So you're standing there. I'm standing there. This does not make it about you. Let's make it about me. I'm standing there and I'm like, do I say something? I want to be nice, but I really want my egg bites. Like I'm really hungry and I can't breathe in this mess. Do I say something now? Should I say something? There's two other people with me. Are they going to think I'm being rude? What do I do? Like you just are going through all of this. Like if it was me, this is not the way it would go. Does anyone relate? I mean, obviously these are very small, like minor inconveniences, but I want you to be aware of the narrative going on in your mind. Some of us do this and we kind of have a very strong sense of the way we want things to go. Some of us do it and it's kind of the opposite where we do still feel like we have a very strong sense of what we need to happen. But all the examples I gave you just now, and my own problems are out of pride. Like, pride says, I know the right way to do things. And it's somehow related to some part of me that feels like I have a better handle on how to live in the world. I have a better handle on a better and smarter way to go about life. That's pride speaking in that moment. And then there's like another one that's actually a little bit more deceptive, in my opinion, because it's fear. And so fear says, I have to say something, do something, act in a certain way, because if I don't, something dangerous might happen. So a fearful sort of control is like, you have to do things the way that I'm saying that they need to be done right now because I'm scared. I'm operating out of a place of fear. Like, what if you don't do this right? What if you don't, you know, I was at the dent here. I'll give you another one. They're myriad. I have so many examples to share. I'm at the dentist today and the girl has her hands in my mouth because she's like doing the dental cleaning thing. And I'm like, all of a sudden, who else is touching the keyboard that she's touching? Because she's touching my mouth and now she's touching the keyboard. Like, is she cleaning the keyboard? I mean, I feel like these people are on top of the cleaning situation, but I should probably just say something, because like, what if this is just the one time that she forgot to clean the keyboard, or somehow like maybe what if the whole dental practice overlooked the reality that you put your hand in my mouth and then you put your hand on that keyboard, which means you're going to do like who else's mouth, hand, glove situation was going on before I got here, because all those germs just went into my mouth. So that's fear, right? That's like me saying like, I'm going to control this situation out of fear. So usually one of those two things is at play over this sense of like, I have to act now. I have to tell this person what to do or how to do it, or I have to ask this question. And it's not that it's not our right to ask those questions, but it's the way that we go about it. And if you've ever been in that moment where you've just, your frustration level has gone up, where your resentment has sort of gone up and you're like, I'm cool. And then all of a sudden you are not cool. Like you're not cool about it anymore. That's control in your life kind of exerting itself. You're trying to figure out, you're wrestling with what is within my power to do and what is it that I need to let go. And to me, the very, very first step in this kind of relationship with what you can control and what you can't is first understanding, okay, wait, is pride at work right now or is fear at work? And how am I going to then relate to those two things? Because honestly, like when I want to tell my husband how to make coffee or how to drive his car, I am operating out of like pride. I'm like, no, like I want you to do it the way I want to do it because we're going to get there faster, which is basically me saying I am smarter than you. Like I know how to live life better. Like I'm not saying that, but if you think about what's at play, what's operating right then, I am operating from a place of superiority where I'm like, I know how to do this better than you, which makes me laugh because once you realize that's what you're doing, hopefully you're going to stop and be like, is that really the person I want to be? Like, is that the kind of person I want to become? Secondly, if I'm operating out of the dentist story today, like out of a fear place, like I want to understand what is it at play? What's going on right now in me? Like, what is the driver of this kind of dialogue that I have in my mind right now? Because I need to recognize what it is. Because if I don't, like I can sort of subconsciously begin to relate to this person and they don't know what's at play. And I'm going to bring that edge into it. So vulnerability says, should I have come to the point where I was like, you know what, I actually feel really worried about the coronavirus. I feel really nervous that she took her gloved hand and put it on that keyboard. My question right now is, how do I want to respond to that? Because what I can control, I can't control what just happened in this dentist situation. I can't really control that the Starbucks is the way the Starbucks is, and these people are doing the best job that they can. I can control how I engage with that person if I'm going to engage at all. So I've got some opportunities, right? I've got some opportunities in front of me. The first one is, am I just being impatient? Am I just wanting things my way? Because if so, this would be a great opportunity to practice patience in that situation. Am I being mistrustful? Do I actually not trust the people around me? If so, this might be a great chance to practice trust. And if I do both of those things and I kind of breathe through the situation, what I want to do is talk to myself and be like, you know what, that was a good, I was in control of the thing that I can control, which what I can control is my proactive stance toward the person that I want to become. And what I can control is my attitude. So I cannot control that they were not making my sous vide egg bites. As it turns out, they were 100% not going to make my egg bites. I could have stood there for 29 minutes and they would not have made my egg bites. Now, the question is, am I going to let resentment build about the way I know how things need to be? Or am I going to control my attitude so that I can say, thank you guys so much for all that you're doing. I did get my drink order. Would you possibly be able to check on my food order after being patient? Like, that's an attitude that I can control. It doesn't mean that I don't get involved. It's just the way I get involved. And what I know about kind of this whole way of sort of doing life is I feel like you can do life out of pride. That can be your motivator. You can do life out of fear, or you can do life out of love, out of a place of love. And places of love are not just for our loved ones. Places of love are for every human being, every living thing that we encounter. Am I coming at this from a place of love? Am I putting on the best possible scenario for this other person so that when I enter in, I'm entering in from a position of humility, not from a position of superiority, and not from a position of sort of fear-based anxiety that's driving the way I'm engaging with another person, because that's a place where I might have an opportunity to grow in trust. So in all of those scenarios, as it turns out, I did nicely ask for my egg bites. I think it was nice, and they did need to be made. So I'm glad I asked. I did not say anything to my dental hygienist, because I'm like, I trust this practice. Like, this is a excellent medical practice. I appreciate them. They have thought about these things. I don't need to ask them about these things, because I feel like I am in a position where I can trust the situation I'm in. Now, that might not be the same for you, but that might be a way to kind of consider when you feel like you're getting amped up around something, when you want to hold tightly to a certain way to do a thing, a certain way to relate to a person, a certain way to parent, a certain way to be in your marriage, a certain way to be with a coworker. Start by asking yourself, what is driving the conversation? And usually it's not love. I do think that most of us have to practice the intention of love. It's not our first reaction. So if you're sort of subconsciously getting amped up about something, you're probably not getting amped up out of love. So it's a chance to stop and say, okay, I want to put on an intent of love. So how is it that I can enter in? Because I can control what? Like, I can control my attitude. And one of the best exercises that you can do, if you just want to help yourself, you're just noticing that you don't like the way that you are in your loving relationships. You're bringing like a lot to it. You're bringing a lot of amped up anxiety. You're bringing a lot of amped up whatever, and you want to be different. Then I just want to encourage you to think about in your journal, in some quiet space, to write down a list of what you can control in your life and what you cannot control in your life, that just right now in the season that you're in, you can think in a few different zones. You can think in your work zone. You can think in your family or relationships zone. You can think in sort of your personal perspective zone. Kind of work through those different. You can think about your physical health. Write down the things that you cannot control. When I make a list of what I cannot control, it is very long. It's just very long. There's just a lot in life. I mean, I think the illusion of control has been ripped away from us at this point in our world. And maybe it's good. Maybe it's just good to realize that you may be thinking that you have more control over things than you do. I mean, a great example is like, I was trying to pivot and start a new career. And I'm like, I want to be successful. And it's like, well, I can't control if like a place that I want to work is hiring. Like, I can't control that, but I can say to myself, if I want to be successful, what can I control? And I could write on what can I control. You know what? I can apply to 10 jobs a week. I can apply myself and do my very best job applying for 10 jobs a week. That's within my control. I'm able to say I did it or I didn't do it. Over here on what I can't control the hiring manager. I can't control the corporate or whatever kind of culture that's going on in that place. I can't control the economic conditions of our country. I can't control all these things, but I can control these things. And for me, one of the greatest things that you can control is you can control your relationship with yourself. Like, You can control your relationship with yourself, the way that you engage yourself, the way that you speak to yourself, the way that you engage with, okay, who am I becoming? Who do I want to become? You can control your attitude. You can control the way that you're engaging with yourself. You can control a lot of your consumption, the things that are coming into you. You can become more mindful of what is helpful that's coming into you and what is not helpful that is coming into you. You've got control over maybe less things, but many, many powerful things. Many powerful things are within your control that can actually change the way you engage with the things that are outside of your control. So I want you to start thinking about that. Think about all the things that are powerful that you can control. Like I cannot control my children. I hope you guys know this. Like you cannot control your children. I can't control my children, but I can set an environment within my home. I can create clear guidelines within my home. I can model for my children what a marriage that is loving and vulnerable looks like to the best of my ability. Like I can do those things. I can seek help for
them.
I've got a lot of things I can do. I can't actually control them. Like they're human beings. They've been born with their own, like they are born with their own set of stuff. That is who they are. I can't control that, but I can control these other things about the way that I relate to them. So I hope that's helpful to you guys just to kind of think about this idea. Where I'm curious if you want to write in, if you got questions about this, if you want to send me a voice memo and just hit the little left-hand side, there's a little box with an arrow and you can hit that button and you just email it to Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. It'll come right to me. So if you've been struggling in this area and you feel a sense, and if you don't know if you're controlling, just ask the people around you and they will be, if they're not scared of you, they will be able to tell you. You might even say something like, where do you find that I am more controlling in life rather than am I controlling? They might not feel free to tell you that. But if you sort of set it up, like I already know I'm controlling in some areas, you can ask and kind of get a feel for the way that you're being perceived, because this is all about, right? Let's be real. This is all about us experiencing more fullness in our lives and in our relationships. And to do so actually takes some work. And part of this work can begin in this place of sort of surrendering what we cannot control and leaning into what we can control. God has given us agency in this world. God has called us. He's made us in his image as men and women, and he's called us to do work in the world. He's created us to want to rule and subdue, to reign in this world. That's just straight from Genesis. I can talk about that another time, but he's made us for that. But it works when we're aligned with him, when we're sort of surrendered to God's way, which is his way of love. If we're not working within the stipulations of kind of God's design for our humanity, if we just pick and choose and we're like, hey, I want to rule and subdue, but I want to do it my way, that's when things like don't go well. Or when we're like, I'm not going to rule and subdue anything because I'm just scared and I'm just going to like hide in my corner until I go to heaven, that also doesn't work well. So we kind of want to know like, hey, we've been made to really make an impact, to have a purposeful life, but we've been made to do it in alignment with God's way. And God's way is a way of love. So next time you get real amped up, listen to the narrative. Is it fear? Is it pride? Switch the channel to love, and then try to see if you can re-engage with the things that you can control, not the things that you can't. Okay, you guys, let me know. Let's talk. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Be Real with Nicole Eunice. We'd love to hear from you. Have a topic to suggest or a tricky situation you need help with? Send us an email or a voice memo to Nicole@NicoleEunice.com and we may feature you on the show. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode.